Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But, of course, hold your calls for a few minutes. We're going to have with us, hopefully, Chris Mulligan. And, of course, Chris is a book publisher. And, of course, he has a fascinating story to tell. He published a book called Barry and the Boys. And it's the story of Barry Seal, the most successful drug smuggler in the United States, who was assassinated here in the United States because he knew too much. And, of course, who are the boys that Barry was associated with? Why, were the Central Intelligence Agency. Because, you see, the Central Intelligence Agency has been involved in drug smuggling for many years, and any effort to bring this out, whether it be Gary Webb's article in the San Jose Mercury, cost him his job. He could never get another job in the media after he wrote the truth about the CIA involvement in drugs. And, of course, this cost many people their lives. There are many people from the CIA and the FBI and the DEA in federal prison now, not because they committed a crime, but because, of course, they tried to expose the crime that the government was committing. And, of course, this is the dark side of government. And then, of course, the wonderful book by Monica Jensen Stevenson, A Real Study in Thought Control, is to try to get it cost. Kiss the Boys Goodbye. And it's not only the story of the men we abandoned, it's the story of the CIA and drugs. Her publisher actually pulled those books back off the shelves of bookstores across America and destroyed them. She got the copyright back, went to Canada. Somebody immediately bought the publisher who published it there and just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Fascinating book, but you see, we're not to understand that the CIA is involved in smuggling drugs. You can go to the Wilderness Trust website and get the link to the CIA Inspector General's report, and they openly admit they're involved in smuggling drugs, but we can't let the average American know that. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about Chris Mulligan's new book that he's published entitled Flushing Out the Skull and Bones. Chris, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, sir. My pleasure.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about how you got involved in this? Because actually, your father was intelligence, wasn't he?
Right, yes. I became involved in this because of some things my father told me many years ago that I didn't understand. And my father was, he was in OSS and then was in G2. He was on MacArthur's staff. And then he was in the CIA, and he was branch chief head of all of East Asia for research and analysis for the CIA for a while.
And what did he tell you about the Vietnam War? I mean, you thought, you know, when you were young, we were over there fighting communism. We were fighting for freedom. Our boys were sacrificing their lives to prevent Southeast Asia from being the first domino to fall. And what did your dad tell you?
Well, you know, like you say, being, you know, raised on John Wayne in World War II, he'd ask me what I thought of the Vietnam War, and I told him he had a sack of hand grenades. You go through them and one of them for the good guys wearing the white hats. And he told me, we had to talk a little bit later on, and he told me, he says, the Vietnam War is about drugs. There's these secret societies behind it. And then he told me that communism was all a sham. These same secret societies were behind it. And
we're going to have to hold that right for a moment because we're going to bring another station on board. And I'm going to let you tell that same story to our new listeners. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Mulligan, his book, Flushing Out the Skull and Bones. And we will be carrying that book. It'll be available from Radio Liberty in about 2 weeks. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Mulligan, and Chris comes from a CIA family. His father was in the CIA, had been in the OSS, been in the military during the Second World War, and of course, it was during the Vietnam War when his father asked Chris, who was at that time, about 18 years old?
Yes.
And he asked you, what's the thought of the Vietnam War? Now, he was with the CIA at that time. What was he in charge of, research in the Far East?
Well, no, he had been gone from the agency at that time 10 years because he had left them in the late 50s because he was working with Colonel Lansdale, and he was in a position where he had to have knowledge of the narcotic importation, and he would have nothing of it. So he left them, and we moved from, you know, living in Fairfax around D.C. to the West Coast, and he ended up teaching school.
Now,
that was one of the reasons why he talked to me. He said he had only signed a 10-year agreement, and his 10 years were up, and so he was talking to me.
Now, what did he tell you about the war in Vietnam?
Well, his first words out of his mouth were that the Vietnam War was about drugs. There were these secret societies behind it. And then he said, and communism was all a sham. These same secret societies were behind it all. And then later on, I mean, I didn't understand what he was talking about there. I was thinking mafia running communism. Oh, Dad, you're nuts. You know, I was a teenager. I knew more than he did anyway. And they told me some things like one of the last things my dad had worked with the CIA to help prepare the newspaper from the intelligence services that starts the day there in Washington. He told me that a lot of the things that were in the news weren't the real news. They were just sway pieces. And that they had prepared a assessment report for Eisenhower when Eisenhower had come aboard. And in that assessment report, they had said, well, if we do this, this will happen and whatnot. And he said that he felt that they were playing out one of the lose scenarios out of this assessment report. And I had no understanding of what he was saying for a long time, kept following some leads down then, and then I finally came across Professor Anthony Sutton's book, America's Secret Establishment, and that kind of helped me put the pieces together.
Well, of course, his other book, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, and of course my interview with Professor Sutton by the same title, where we wondered how we financed communism from its inception. We had to have an enemy. We even financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War so we could keep the war going for 10 long bloody years. We'll be right back with Chris Mulligan. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Chris, of course, is a fascinating young man, and he publishes books, and of course, he's published Colonel Marvin's book, The Expendable Elite, and he's published Professor Sutton's excellent book. He's re-brought out The American Establishment, and although we carry the old one, we also carry the new one, because it's really much nicer. It's hardcover, has a lot of other information in it, and of course, we'll be carrying his new book, Flushing Out Skull and Bones. And of course, you have to understand there's not one secret society. There are a whole flock of them. And of course, that's what it is. Everybody finally says, oh, this is it, the Skull and Bones. Or this is it, the Council on Foreign Relations, or at least the inner core of the Council. Or this is it, the Masons. Or this is it, the Theosophists. Or it's the Rosicrucians. There are all sorts of secret societies out there. And of course, they're never going to explain that all to you and how they all work together, though. Sometimes at odds, but they have one common goal, and that is power, a new world order, and a new world religion. Now, let's get, of course, then onto the Skull and Bones, because that certainly interlocks with of course, the CIA. They have a whole division in there of people from the Skull and Bones who are in the Central Intelligence Agency, the Murder Incorporated, the American counterpart of the KGB that really does kill people. And I've talked to at least three assassins. I personally talked to them, who, of course, were approached by the CIA, and some of them actually carried out their assignments. And then, of course, we find the Skull and Bones dominating the Council on Foreign Relations, and we find the Skull and Bones in the White House itself today. And, of course, the president sort of makes light of it. Oh, does that organization still exist, he says? And yet, of course, he has meetings of his cell right there in the White House while he tells us, oh, I didn't even know the organization still existed. That's hardly the thing for a Christian president to do, to deceive people about that organization. So why don't you tell us, what is Skull and Bones, and why should we think that this is any different than any other foolish college fraternity?
Well, its roots go deep. It was formed here in 1832, and you can show descendants of secret societies that go farther than that. It operates in a mystical way. It has a lot of power, and it uses this power to deceive. And it secrecy and our Constitution and our Republic are not really good for each other. And when you have these people operating out of secrecy and advancing each other, you get a situation where we have the system today where we have our money is not truly done by the federal government. We have a Federal Reserve Board that was, is a private bank. And, you look at the Bushes. Prescott Bush's father, Samuel Bush, we're told was just a merchant, Well, if you look at it, he was on the Federal Reserve Board. And there was a whole bunch of Skull and Bones people that were on the Federal Reserve Board. And they were leading, and they were the treasurers of the United States right up until the time that we had the Federal Reserve. So they were very instrumental in getting one of that control mechanisms over the American society. Another control mechanism that these people have generated is our media. And Time Life was owned by Henry Luce. Newsweek was started by Harriman of Skull and Bones. You have Cal's Communication. You have Mr. Bradford Howe, who was managing director of the New York Times for many, many years. And also Prescott Bush helped put together CBS. And you have emergence of this media and the psychological warfare and the Psy Wars, so they're able to play games with the American people, and they set up both the right and the left, and also when you look at them too, they were very much in control of the education system here. John Dewey and Thomas Mann weren't members of Skull and Bones, but there were Skull and Bones people all around them, and they brought, us the modern American education system, which, Johnny can't read today. I mean, we have an education system that isn't here for illiteracy. It is here to make people nice, willing wage slaves.
And, one of the interesting things is, of course, we have John Kerry, who's running on the Democrat platform for the presidency of the United States. He's Skull and Bones, and he's criticizing George Bush, another fellow member of the Skull and Bones, and it's all showbiz. Their people have been in banking, Brown Brothers, Harriman, and J.P. Morgan, and of course, these people, once you get into Skull and Bones, you become part of the elite that rules America.
Right, and when John Kerry was on the Iran-Contra Narcotics Board. They found out some things, but nobody was ever prosecuted, and a bunch of the files are still classified. And this group of Skull and Bones have been involved with narcotics since the 1830s. And the 1830s is when opium became the largest commodity on the planet. And the families that are involved in Skull and Bones were the same families that were involved with Russell and Company, which was the America's largest opium smuggler and the third largest in the world. They used the money they made from opium to build up the railroads and take over the railroads and get all the free land. I mean, it's no interesting coincidence that Weyerhaeuser, one of the largest holder of the lands that were given from the government, is a member of Skull and Bones.
Well, of course, it's the fact that nobody talks about this, or if they do, there was a CBS program the other evening, but they didn't, of course, go into all the detail we're going about. They did interview Alexandra Robbins, who was a member of
Skull and Bones. Dr. Stan.
And I outed her when we did the interview, and she said, how did you know that? And I said, well, I'd done a little studying on her. But Alexandra Robbins wrote a very interesting book called Secrets of the Tomb. and the tomb is where, of course, their secret meetings are held. But, of course, she was fed a lot of false information. She did a good job. I think she tried to get the information. But, of course, you know, it's worth your life, if you're a member of Skull and Bones, to ever tell anybody what goes on. And she has all these members of Skull and Bones just telling her all about the inner secrets of that organization because they don't like secrecy. No, of course, what they're doing is they wanted to write the book, of course, to allay the apprehension of the American people that George Herbert Walker Bush and, of course, Prescott Bush and now George W. Bush are part of a secret society that ties in into the Germans and the Nazi movement, that Prescott Bush, of course, with an obsession with death, stole the skull of Cochise, the Indian chieftain, and they keep it there.
In Geronimo.
Geronimo, I'm sorry. At Yale University.
Yes.
I mean, these people have seen nothing wrong with grave robbing, or maybe with death as such.
Well, they've also supposedly have the bones of Harriet Tubman and Pancho Villa, and, you know, they haven't had any public meetings inside, so we have to rely on break-ins and some people that were there on commercial things. But some people that broke in the 70s, some gals, the things that they were most concerned about was there was one room that was like a Nazi shrine, had all kinds of swastikas and stuff in it, and then there was all these bones just lying around all over the place and different cabinets with different skeletons in them. And supposedly they have the skeleton of Madame Pompadour and other people. And it is, for one thing, your skull and crossbones is a magical symbol in that the skull represents the upper room and on top of the 33 stairs of the vertebrae, and the crossed bones are the symbolize the two pillars that are evident in most ritual magic rooms.
Well, you know, there's only one person that we know of who's actually not a member who's ever really described one of their ceremonies. Would you like to describe the skull and bones ceremony that is described in Alexandra Robbins' book? Because I think that even frightened her when she thought of the implications of it, because these are the people who rule America. And what are they doing in black hooded robes?
Well, it was a marriage ceremony, and when a member of Skull and Bones gets married, generally all of the other 14 members of his cell come to his marriage, and then they induct the wife into the order in a special ceremony that a sister of the bride hid upstairs in a hayloft and saw it, and she saw a bunch of black hooded people with swords and talking strange tongues and doing ritual.
She described this as a typical pagan ceremony, and uttering all sorts of strange remarks, not in the English language at all, but some sort of a pagan gibberish. And these are the men, of course, who lead America today. What are they doing holding pagan ceremonies? Sounds very much like the Bohemian Grove, where, of course, up in Santa Rosa, they have their pagan ceremonies, wearing their black robes with the hoods on it.
Well, you know, you had a very much of a lot of history with secret societies in America, especially in the Northeast. You had these two colleges, you had Harvard and Yale, both were set up by Calvinist clerics, and then very soon you had a secret society there at that time, Phi Beta Kappa, which was holding elaborate initiation ceremonies, leading people through the dark and blindfolds, and then leading them out into the light, and having a lot of the traditional Western magical signs. And when you go to Yale University, you'll see like the tomb, which is that is just what we call it. Its real name is the Temple. It's the Temple of the Order of Skull and Bones. It is about the size of a Masonic hall, and then you go down the street, and there's a big Egyptian arch with magical symbols on it right across the street, another big mausoleum-type building. And so there is definitely Western magical tradition that is involved with these groups also.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a couple of moments with Chris Milligan, and of course we'll invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But You know, this is simply one of a myriad of secret societies. These people swear oaths, of course, loyalty and fidelity to the organization that certainly supersede their loyalty either to America or to Christianity. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty in just a moment. This is a fascinating four tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just...
Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down that you need more energy?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Yes, well, I sometimes feel like I need more energy, but right now I just want to mention that this talk we were talking about, based upon a lecture that had been given by Dr. Richard Day back in 1969. Actually, we have a four-tape set on that. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians, and it's 4 hours of interviews and talks by Dr. Dinigan, who actually attended the meeting, heard what Dr. Richard Day, who was the director of Planned Parenthood, said, and he was in with this elite group that ruled the world. In fact, he talked about it as the Order. That's something we often refer to as a Skull and Bones. We call that the Order as well. Now, what group he was talking about, I don't know, but he said, this is all that we have planned, this is what's going to happen, and this is what is going to unfold in the months and years that lie ahead. It is the most incredible prophecy of what was to happen during the following 20 years. I actually tracked Dr. Dinigan down because I wanted to see if the story was true, and one of the four tapes is my interview with Dr. Dinigan, and the other three are with Randy Engel of the U.S. Coalition on Life. I think you'll find it fascinating. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and of course, tape set is called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's a little more expensive because we have to pay a royalty, but I felt it was important enough. I wanted to get it out. And then, of course, we want, of course, to tell you about some of the other items we carry. And, of course, we carry the Big Berkey water filter. And the Big Berkey water filter is a wonderful means of cleaning, keeping your water fresh and clean. It's based upon the design that's been used for many, many years by the missionaries. 150 years this has been used, and of course you put the water in the top, it goes through ceramic filters, it comes out the bottom, and of course it's clean, goes through an activated charcoal compound, but this takes out the majority of the chlorine and the majority of the herbicides and pesticides and the bacteria. And if you want to get a Big Berkey, they're available from Radio Liberty for $239.95 plus $10 shipping, but you can't get them either California or Iowa. However, we also carry the Berkey Light, which is $199.95 plus $10 shipping, and of course with both of them, either one you get from us, while you get a free tape set or a free video we produced, you can see them up at our website at RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you'd like to get one of these water filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, there have been people who have actually studied this in the past. Who was this fellow who wrote about the Skull and Bones in the past?
Anthony Sutton?
No, there was a fellow named...
Ron Rosenbaum?
Right, Rosenbaum.
Yes. Yes, he was a student at Yale, and then when he was a writer in New York, and he wrote a story for Esquire magazine, in August of 77, and that was one of the first stories in about 60 years in the press about Skull and Bones.
Right, and of course now he has, of course, been studying it ever since then. He even, of course, snuck in and got video pictures of some of their initiation rites, and of course now they say, oh, well, we just set that up for him, you know, to confuse him, because we knew he was there. Well, we don't know whether that's true or not. In fact, nobody really knows anything about it, because I don't believe anybody who's ever a member of Skull and Bones has ever broken, of course, of their pledge of secrecy.
No, there have been some people that have been involved in their initiation, some ladies, because, you know, like in the videotape that Ron took, there is this lady on a couch and whatnot, and there have been ladies that say they have taken part in the initiation and played that part. And so the initiation that he did videotape does line up with some things that we have learned over the years about it. And then a very interesting thing that he recorded was their chant, where the hangman equals death, the devil equals death, and death equals death.
And there seems to be this obsession with death and with everything it represents in Skull and Bones. That's why they've stolen all the skulls and bones of prominent people. And why aren't they held at the same level of complicity as you and I? If we were to rob graves, why, we'd get into trouble. But these people really are above the law, aren't they?
Well, they have political and economic power. And When you look at it from a standpoint of magic, of mysticism, what it would appear that these people operate under is a low-level form of sorcery or necromancy, a death magic, where they believe that they gain power through death. And it's, when you look at their actions have created a lot of death, and we have the military-industrial complex, which President Eisenhower warned us about, actually got together in Connecticut in the 1800s. And you look, like I say, where the tomb is, and you go up High Street there, and you go through these gates that say the dead shall be raised, and in the middle of that graveyard, there's this tomb of St. John, and then if you just go as a straight line, just right up this little draw, you end up at the Winchester Repeating Arms Rifle plant that made Browning rifles and all kinds of rifles for the World Wars that created lots of death. And you have, Simpson, who was the Secretary of War. You have
he was Secretary of War during World War II,
right.
Member of Skull and Bones, and then, of course, his good friend McGeorge Bundy was the National Security Advisor who involved us in Vietnam, a member of Skull and Bones, and the two of them, Stimson and McGeorge Bundy, wrote a book called On Watch. So these people always work together in key positions, and what do? They take us into war after war after war,
after
and
war.
More and more and more death.
Right. They firmly believe that in the power of war, and to move history on to where they can get it more under control, where they can get into their new world order. Weishaupt, if you read his works, he didn't call it new world order; he called it cosmopolitanism. And speaking of the Illuminati, there are many historians that link directly Skull and Bones directly to the Illuminati.
Well, of course, the original Skull and Bones was formed just a few years after Weishaupt died. And, of course, the original Skull and Bones was a continuation of a secret German organization, a secret German fraternity, wasn't it?
Well, yes, and then there's two links, one through the Phi Beta Kappa up from William and Mary, and then also from over in Germany. Because where the tomb was built ended up being completely surrounded by the art department at Yale, and a lot of that was put in place through Phi Beta Kappa. And just like in Skull and Bones and in Freemasonry and other ways, a lot of these societies at their core have a secret society in within them that many of the members aren't even aware of.
You mean a fraternity within a fraternity, as
right.
Of course, certainly Manly P. Hall, who is a Satanist, said of Masonry, and he was a 33rd degree Mason. And he said, of course, Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. An outer fraternity made up of men who have no idea what it's all about. And an inner fraternity that understands. Jim is holding on the line. Jim from Massachusetts. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang on there.
Very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we don't make any claims for them. But, of course, we will tell you that many of the people who use these claims tell us they really do help, and they're wonderful for gel for acne and for rashes and things of that sort. All we can do is suggest you try them and see if they'll work for you. And then, of course, we have the soap and the moisturizing soap. I've used that, of course, for several years now, and I'm really sold on it. I wouldn't be without it. And then, of course, there is a neutralizer, which some people take internally. Of course, it's a very alkaline mineralized solution, and it seems to help digestive tract, both upper and lower. Well, if you'd like to know more about the products, look at our website or give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you can get an introductory offer. And then, of course, we would point out that we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum so that you can educate your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. It's all on 22 CDs, and of course, it's a wonderful way to educate your children. Everything is there that you need for a good education other than the Saxon math textbooks. And let me suggest you call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we've got the board all lit up. We've got Jim calling from Massachusetts. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan. I was just wondering if your guest, Mr. Milligan, has ever seen Stanley Kubrick's last film, Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, absolutely. Very interesting movie.
And what do you think Stanley Kubrick's motive was for making this film? Because he died before the film was released. What do you think he really wanted to say in that movie?
Well, I think there's two things. I think there's exposure, and then there's also the question of, oh, it's part of the mind control, in that if you know that it's there and this is what is happening, I mean, some people will say, well, gosh, isn't that cool if I could be a member of that group, you know? And then it's like after the Kennedy assassination, these people killed the president and got away with it and were having their drinks at 4 o'clock or whenever. And so I think there was two things there. I think that he was trying to expose, but I also think that the films that get out there are part of the total psy and mind control thing that we're
I think, Jim, when you see this on the movie, you think it's just all make-believe. I think that that movie, you know, basically was talking about these secret societies, and they're there with their black robes with the black hoods, or purple robes with their purple hoods. And I think it was manifesting and revealing and exposing the evil which works at every level of our society today, because this earth belongs to the devil. Tells us that in the scriptures over and over again. And of course, there's a lot of confusion out there within Christendom of what's really going on. That, of course, when the devil could offer Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he'd fall down and worship him, how could he do that if God was really in charge of all the kingdoms? Now, I believe God is supreme, and one of these days he's going to intervene. And I think we're going to see his wrath, because we've betrayed the responsibility he's given us to maintain this earth. Anything else, Jim?
No, I just wanted to get a comment on that. It was rather interesting that this film came out just prior, just after his death, and it seemed like he was trying to say something there in that movie. And then,
I think it was, and there's a very good section on that in Tal Brooks' book entitled When the World Will Be as One. And we carry that book, or at least the updated version of that. And it goes into, of course, the movie Eyes Wide Shut. He thought, just as you did, that they were exposing what this is really all about, this battle between good and evil that most people don't even know is going on today.
Yes, I think the exposure, and also it's this process of revealment, that if you look into magic and mysticism, which is part of what they're doing in their Psy War, and part of the whole ritual, because like I see the Kennedy assassination as a magical ritual called the Killing of the King. You can read about it in the Golden Bough, a book written in the 30s. And also, when you look at the Twin Towers, you had, you know, plane number 11 hit the Twin Towers on September 11th when there's 111 days left, exactly 11 years before when President then George H.W. Bush used the term New World Order in a speech before Congress.
You mean on September 11th, year 2000, right? That was very revealing. There was so much in the numerology. And is it all accidental? Well, I think when you see it over and over and over again, you finally have to say, hey, maybe there is something to it. Thanks so much for calling, Jim. Let's go to David calling from Gonzales. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How's it going?
Doing fine. How about you?
Good. I wanted to ask about the Bohemian Grove, and I wanted to ask if the Bohemian Grove ties into the Skull and Bones, and if you've ever seen that movie, The Skulls. They had a Skulls Part 2 also.
Yes, I've seen them both, and you know, I think they're a good movie to see. I think they are a Hollywood version of it there, but the people who did it went to Yale, and, you know, they gave the movie some thought. And yes, Bohemia Grove is related. There are members of Skull and Bones that go to Bohemia Grove, and then most obviously at Bohemia Grove you have large rituals, again, that are being used either for a cohesive force or for some other reason that they do there. And then you have the Big Owl, and if you look at the Hegel Association here in the United States has a newsletter, and it's called Minerva, which is the name of the owl. And so there is a lot of connections, yes, between Skull and Bones and Bohemia Grove.
And, of course, my friend Alex Jones has snuck into the Bohemian Grove. And what are they wearing? Why, they're wearing their black robes with the hoods over it and a feigned human sacrifice. At least we hope it's a feigned human sacrifice. And you're talking about the secretaries of state. I mean, George Shultz is a regular attendee. And Henry Kissinger, you know George Shultz. He's that guy you see standing next to Arnold Schwarzenegger all the time. Isn't that interesting that Arnold should pick George Shultz from the Bohemian Grove, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, formerly on the board of Gorbachev's State of the World Forum? These people give incest a bad name. We have a wonderful four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, interview with Alex Jones, interview with Kathy O'Brien, who was used there as a sex slave for the purposes and the entertainment of presidents and vice presidents. You'll be fascinated with her interview and her book, The Transformation of America. And then, of course, we also have a four-tape set on Skull and Bones, and we carry Chris's book, The American Establishment, or I should say Anthony Sutton's book that Chris has republished, and we'll be carrying his book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. It's over 700 pages. It's available in 2 weeks, and we'll accept orders now for it because we've already ordered it. But they all interlock, David, because there is a Brotherhood of Darkness there, and Bohemian Grove is simply part of that.
It's just amazing. When I saw Arnold running for governor, how George Shultz and Warren Buffett and all those guys were on his corner. It's just amazing how they have their own little clique and how they all stick together.
They sure do. It's almost like maybe we don't have much of a choice. We vote for not for the candidate of our choice, but the candidate of their choice.
And I had another question. Does Matrix, the whole phenomenon with the Matrix, does that tie into it?
I don't know. I've seen the movies, and there is some interesting, ideas there, and, being part of a cell and being dominated over by other people that are using you for other reasons and whatnot. But I don't believe that we have quite the electronic control that they talk about in there. There is a lot of, with the movies that we see, there is a lot of mystical mumbo-jumbo involved in a lot of the movies that we see. And to get a movie made, you have to go through hoops. And I know I talked to a lot of people who want to do movies about conspiracy and other things that are happening, and they cannot get those movies done.
Any more than, of course, Mel Gibson is going to be able to get his movie about the crucifixion of Christ distributed through regular channels. Why? Because the people who control the media hate Jesus Christ, and they hate Judaism as well. Thanks so much for calling, David.
All right, thank you, guys.
Let's go to Richard, who's calling from Miami. Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Question or comment?
A question. Dr. Stan, you mentioned earlier that the president has, Skull and Bones meetings in the White House?
He got the members of his cell together just shortly after he was elected president. They had some sort of party there. Had you heard that, Chris?
Yes. It was like within the first week he was in the White House, he had the members of his own cell there. And then he has appointed five other members of Skull and Bones in his cabinet.
But the thing that really
not
is...
Not his cabinet, but to his government.
Richard, the thing that's so disingenuous is when a reporter asked him about his membership in Skull and Bones, his reply was, oh, is that organization still exist? I didn't know it did. And, of course, that was, let's say that was not being entirely truthful.
Dr. Stan, I'd like to find out what that source was, because there's a certain conservative talk show host, which I'm not going to mention, that claims that George Bush is a wonderful Christian. If I can get a hold of that and just show it to him, it'd be really good. You know where I can get information on?
Do you have that quote in your book there?
We have it on our website. I mean, it's on videotape, and it was on ABC for a while. I don't have that quote particular in my book, no.
I think that Alexander Robbins does. Now, don't hold me to that.
It's on the internet, quite a few places. Yeah. And there is a link on one of my sites on Boodle Boys.
All right, fine. So what is your website there, Chris?
The main website is Trinday, TrinedaY. And they can also go to ctrl.org.
Now, trying, what is it?
trinedaY.com.
Trineday.com.
And that links to the books, and then the books link to some of the more information websites.
All right, fine. And so, but I think it's in Alexander Robbins' book, but don't quote me. We do carry that book. We have a four-tape set on that. We have really the original material we actually got from the Skull and Bones, with all their members' names going back to 1830, and you're not. Do you have that in your book?
Yes, we do. In this the most recent book, we have a section in there that includes a biographical material, and then we also have a alphabetical listing too, so people can find it. But then, and the biographical material is just amazing when you see all the different jobs that these people do. Besides the more famous ones,
one point in time they had the presidency of Cessna and Beechcraft, and you know, and then they're also running Federal Express, and at the same time they're running all these drugs into the country. You know, I mean, it's very, very interesting.
All right, fine. Anything else you wanted to ask, Richard?
Yeah, Dr. Spann, you said that the CIA website has information on them admitting that they import drugs?
Yes, if you go to, from thewilderness.com, that's Michael Rupert's, he has actually a link to the CIA website, and that's the Inspector General's report, and of course, I think we even pulled that down. I don't know what I did with it, but I've read it, and they admit that, yes, some of their agents were actually involved in drug running, going along with what Gary Webb. In fact, what they said was far worse than what Gary Webb put out in his articles and in his book.
It was ignored. It was released the day that Bill Clinton got impeached, and it was kind of a warning shot on some other bows, you know, saying, well, you want to yell at me, I've got some things I can yell at you about, too.
So it's there. If you have access to a computer, you can go to fromthewilderness.com. You can track it down from there, and there's a link to the CIA website. Whether they pulled it down or not, I don't know, but we did at one time actually pull that down ourselves. So it's important, yes, there's no question the CIA is involved in drugs.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
In fact, we have a wonderful four-tape set with six interviews where we, of course, go into the background of the CIA and drugs and what happens. The good people who are working for the government are trying to let the American people know that the war on drugs is as phony as the war on terror, is as phony as all the other so-called wars we're involved in. The war in Vietnam was never fought to win.
Dr. Stan?
You're right.
Let me tell you a little story here. My mother and father went to Vietnam in 1956, and they actually went on a tour of Southeast Asia. I was in first grade. I was told my folks were going over there. My dad was going to write a book called The Church in Southeast Asia, which was never written. They met with Colonel Lansdale in Vietnam. Colonel Lansdale, after he left Vietnam, was also head of Operation 40 out of Havana. That was, you know, supposed to, you know, kill Castro, and was involved in the importation of the narcotics at the very beginning there in Vietnam. Well, they met with Colonel Lansdale, and the very next day they went to Chiang Mai, Thailand. And I asked my mother, I says, well, Mom, how big was Chiang Mai at that time? And she said, oh, it wasn't very big, kind of a village, the biggest thing in town was the church. And then she said, as an aside, she says, and that's when I stopped kind of believing what was in the newspaper. And I asked the mother, I says, well, why? And she says, well, because the big headline in the newspaper, the big story, was talking about this big battle that had taken place right where they had been in Vietnam. And I kind of laughed and says, well, Mom, do you know who Colonel Lansdale was? And she says, well, he was a handsome, dashing guy, you know, as far as she was concerned. And I says, well, that was one of his jobs. He did it in the Philippines and he did it in Vietnam. He would go out in the woods around the jungle and have fake battles, sometimes complete with ketchup, and to get the people in the cities to have to choose sides, because once if you choose a side, then they kind of got you, because you got to defend that side and all kinds of things.
Well, it's sort of like what's going on over in Iraq today. There's one side says we've got to be there, and the other side says we got to get out. And what they do, they got us choosing sides, and nobody ever asks the question, well, of course, Sir Saddam Hussein was a terrible guy. Well, so why did we keep him in power all these years? And those of you who don't believe he did, you need to get my March newsletter, which has a quotation from a CIA agent, his book, See No Evil, and going into how we kept Saddam Hussein in power, and, of course, how we financed him, and, you know, it's all right there.
And Dr. Stan, but and to get back to my story there, so I'm looking at my mother's, she has these picture books, you know, she was always taking a camera with her. And you go to the picture book, and you look at this picture book, and there's pictures of Colonel Lansdale, my dad, my mom, and whatnot. And then in the writing next to it, it says, picnic with North Vietnamese military leaders.
In other words, you create the best enemy money can buy, and then you send men out to fight and bleed and suffer and die. In wars that you never intend to win.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we're involved in another one right now. I mean, and it's just, and it's so transparent. And I mean, the things that we are expected as good citizens to believe, you know, we're supposed to believe that our armed forces and Air Force are just so stupid and flummoxed that, you know, planes can fly around in our country for over 40 minutes after two of them have already hit a building, and they can run into our head of our armed forces, you know, and we're supposed to believe that, you know, oh, our planes just, you know, they couldn't scramble and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just so ridiculous, because it was most obviously a setup, like a Pearl Harbor setup, so that they could bring on their war on terror, give us another false enemy, take away our rights, because these secret societies, you go all the way back 200 years, you have General Washington talking about the Illuminati, and he says, well, yeah, I know this group is here, and what they're after is they don't like our form of government. And so they want to change our republic into a more of a fascist corporate state and move the economic engine out of here.
Well, we're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. You really need to check these things. We have a wonderful interview with Anthony Sutton entitled The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. We carry his book, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, How We Finance Communism, How We Finance the Nazis, How We Finance Those Wicked North Vietnamese During the Vietnam War. But, of course, how would you keep the war going for 10 years against a country the size of the state of Mississippi without tremendous foreign aid, which we gave to Russia and they gave to North Vietnam? And that's why we never tried to win the war, because we were never there to defeat communism. Well, thanks so very much for being with us, Chris. God bless you, and we'll get to talk to you again tonight at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our 14th set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention a couple of things. One of them, of course, is the Institute of the Constitution. And, of course, this is a series of 12 half-hour lectures and then two lectures by David Barton and a book. It will give you the opportunity to teach people about America's Christian heritage, one of the most carefully kept secrets in America today. Do you realize that for 150 years, everybody in the world knew America was a Christian nation? And, of course, our children could sing the third stanza of the Star Spangled Banner and all the stanzas of America the Beautiful, because everybody knew we were a Christian nation, but of course that has changed, because they've taken over our medium, they've taken over our courts, and the only way we're going to reclaim our nation is, of course, for people to really understand what our freedom is based upon. It's based upon God. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that governments are created among men to guarantee those rights, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. That was what our America was all about. Call 410-760-9068. Get this kit, and then, of course, set these programs up. It's all there for you. You'll learn a lot. You'll teach others the first step to taking America back. That's the Institute of the Constitution, 410-760-9068. Or go to their website at iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. And then if you don't have health insurance, or you are struggling out there, you can't afford to pay for your health insurance, why not, of course, consider a Christian health cost-sharing program called MediShare, Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we'll get the people from MediShare to contact you. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you again that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us and you think that this program is important, you think that, oh, I don't like to hear all these bad things, I like to hear all the good things, well, let me tell you, if there's not somebody out there telling you that the enemy is not about to attack, we're already at war, and their desire is to destroy the soul of this country. To move us towards impoverishment and all the things that you think will give you security, like your savings and your bonds and your pension fund, they're all going to be lost as this country moves into financial chaos. And somebody's got to be out there bringing the message of the truth about what's happening. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us and get our information and help to disseminate it to others and warn them, as we're told to do in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe to the newsletter, but if you don't, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter. And let me suggest our September newsletter that tells you what really happened on the morning of September 11th. It's the testimony before the investigating committee that is investigating 9/11. As she testified in March of this year, Mindy Kleinberg, who lost her husband in the North Tower, but of course, it was totally blacked out by the controlled media, and so we've reproduced it in our September newsletter, and give us a call, and we'll be glad to let you, of course, give you a free copy, and we invite you to copy that and get the information out. Then, of course, we hope many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, pull down our newsletters, pull down the programs we do there 5 hours a day, or the archive programs, or the other things that we've written, and help us to get that information out, and you have our permission to copy anything off of my news, off of my website. You'll also see some of the items we carry. We actually carry the Big Berkey products there, and if you buy them through us, why, you'll get a free four-tape set or a free video that we produced. If you simply order them by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get any five of the videos we produced, we have something called the Video Special, and you get the five videos for $69.95. We hope many of you will want to get on my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which explains the spiritual nature of the battle we're engaged in. And you can get the book for $12.95, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness Special with a book, the video, which ordinarily costs $19.95, and the tape, which costs $5, and you get the whole thing for $29.95. It's a great deal, but more than that, it's going to give you the information that you need to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, educational, financial battlefield, and nobody even knows the battle is going on, and most Christians just feel so good and about themselves, and they're caught up in all the things that are going on without understanding the church has been infiltrated. They've changed the message of the church. They've changed the music of the church, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're going to neutralize the church, which is the only group that has the ability to stand up against the evil that, of course, is consuming our nation today. So if you'd like, of course, to get more information on that subject, what's happening in the church, our four-tape set on the apostate church will give you a tremendous understanding. If you're a Catholic, you want to understand the Catholic Church, the wisdom of Malachi Martin. You want to understand the music, musical madness. All of these are four-tape sets available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, and please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you to wrap up this week, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye. May the Lord be with you.